Ambassador for Turn Back Crime campaign. Joining me, thank you, sir, for joining us, and welcome to PM Drive.
Good afternoon to you, my brother, and to your heavyweight show listener.
Thank you so much. I want to jump straight into it. This is a question around the arrest of Fido Adams, and the moment any politician gets slapped with a charge, people ask the question, is this politically motivated? So I'm going to ask that question. Based on the charges laid against the personality of Fido Adams, the NCC leader, in your opinion, do you see these charges as being politically motivated?
No, I don't see the charges being politically motivated. If and when I get knowledge to the effect that the person has interfered with the police in the execution of their duty, and in this case, meaning a further investigation by the police, there's nothing political about it, which is what the spokesperson of the South African Police Services has said, Aklenda Mate. And if they say someone misrepresented himself and claimed that he was from the Portfolio Committee on Police doing his official duties, I go back and look at the Portfolio Committee, whether they gave him that permission to go and visit that gentleman in jail or that convicted criminal in jail. And when they say he was there to gather intelligence without authorization, then that to me says there is no political motivation, but the elements of crime do exist in the behavior that he displayed. Hence, they have arrested him. I don't think, given the set of facts that we have picked up so far, that it has to do with political interference. Like I said, I would want to not believe that there is an affidavit. That affidavit says Mr. Adams was never permitted by the Portfolio Committee, and Mr. Adams represented himself and not Parliament and the committee. If it does exist, indeed, like we did this morning when we were analyzing, it would mean there's much more serious problems for him.
Saying that, there were questions raised around the way that Mr. Adams was arrested. Apparently, he had indicated that he would be handing himself over to police, but then a J50 was issued on him, and he was arrested prior to that at the Grassy Park parliamentary residence, and then subsequent, he was driven across country to be held at an undisclosed location. And so a lot of people might be saying that this is something that we don't normally see happening in our country, where people who are prisoners or who are suspected of crimes and arrested are then transported across the country and then held in a way where, no one knows where they are. So is this something that can be seen as a routine within SAPS, within the South African Police Services Code of Conduct, or form, or in terms of standard operational procedure? What would be the reason that Mr. Fido Adams was processed in this manner?
Mr. Adams is a suspect, like the man who goes into a store and robs a store, and the police come and they arrest him. I think many of the people of this country don't want politicians to be treated like kings and queens when they are suspected of having committed a certain crime. Mr. Adams cannot, in the minds of South Africans, as I was analyzing the pattern and looking at the social media mood and doing social media monitoring. Mr. Adams cannot expect to be flown in a private jet or a jumbo jet or a helicopter to a policing precinct A or B. He is a suspect, and obviously when your rights are read to you, you now become part and parcel of what you call the G.I. Joe, the government issue, for the want of a better word, not that he is a G.I. For the want of a better word, we would say he now loses his freedom. He cannot be in the portfolio committee on police, and when he's suspected of committing crime, then want to be treated like a member of parliament. When I become a suspect, when you and I become suspect, we see the police vans coming here to arrest us. We are not allowed to hand ourselves over at the nearest police station. I am sure everyone down in the Western Cape will not want the police to arrest him or her. They will hand themselves over at the police station. And now, by then, that conduct would be setting a very dangerous precedent. You can imagine when police rock up at your door and we hear someone saying they will present themselves the following day or after 2 weeks or after 3 days. And then they go and they present themselves after 6 months. It messes the whole criminal justice system. I would say to one and all, from an analysis point of view, while there are special people, people with special privileges, they should take care of the wrong optics and the wrong perception. That says because they are ministers, they are members of parliament, they are not on the same level with the ordinary person walking down the street. That would be a very negative perception for that individual, parliament, the party that they are representing, and many of these youngsters that we are teaching to be men of good standing. They will want to believe that they will behave like criminals and be treated like superheroes when it's arrest time. So it is important that you and I share this logic in a way and manner that says, while people can be treated with some special privileges, the precedent that you are setting might backfire in our faces.
They also, before he was released, Mr. Adams told a parliamentary committee that a hitman had confessed to him and alleged that members of Crime Intelligence, the SAPS, were involved in providing the weapons used in the hit in 2017 against Youth League Secretary General Sindiso Magaka. Now, in light of this arrest, some might ask, does this now undermine the allegations that were made by Fido Adams? Will there still be some kind of an investigation lodged into his claims?
There must be. If I were to hold the police to account, they must respond to those allegations. The fact that Fadiel Adams went the wrong way about it, yes, might create a dent in his credibility and integrity, the integrity of the allegations or the evidence that he might have picked up from that gentleman, in that he misrepresented himself. They are obliged, or they have an obligation or an ethical and moral responsibility to explain to us whether the arrest for the conduct in which he has displayed in we're going to visit this man in prison or not is besides the point. What is at the heart should be what crime intelligence involved, yes or no. If we say yes, let's bring evidence. If not, let the whole debate or accusation slide or flow with the river of time, the waters of the river of time. And also, if that evidence that he has picked up from that individual or that convicted criminal, if that evidence is contaminated or tainted. Like in the language that we use, we say for him having yet gone there without the authorization and while the investigation was still going on, there is what we call witness contamination. Whether witness contamination will kick in a way and manner that ridicules Fadiel Adams' visit there is another ball game to play in a way and manner that we seek to get answers out of this whole thing.
And finally, if Fadiel Adams had followed the correct person procedure, what should have been the means by which he approached this? If he had an idea that he had credible evidence, what would have been the correct procedure for him to obtain this evidence and bring it to light?
You know, if you had gone to the portfolio committee and say there are rumors that speaks about this or that in the case of the murderer or the killer of Mr. Magaja, I kindly and humbly request permission to go and listen to that suspect in jail and pick up what needs to be picked. Maybe the portfolio committee would have discussed with those that are in charge of the process of further investigations to say we are going to be visiting the convicted criminal. He doesn't want to talk to you as the police. He wants to talk to a member of parliament. So we are giving him authorization to go and talk to the suspect, to the convict on our behalf. Maybe that would have made things easier. They would have authorized his traveling, made arrangements, and made it as a showcase that he doesn't meet any other challenges when he gets to the prison over there. I think his misstep was going out there without, as a lone ranger, and that lone ranger approach or conduct has now cost him more problems. This thing would have been very easy if he had spoken to the portfolio committee and got authorization. He would have brought that evidence and it would have been put before the relevant institution for further investigation and action.
Mr. Andy Mashaile, a security strategist and retired Interpol ambassador for Turn Back Crime Campaign, or TBC, thank you so much for joining us on PM Drive and all the best, sir.
My brother, please pass my regards to the magnificent production team and your family at home.
Thank you so much, sir. I will do.